Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
We give you praise, Jesus, and we honor you. Thank you, Father. It's a new season. It's a new day. We recognize it, and we ride on that wave. It is the wave of glory. We honor you, Father. Be exalted. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. If that's your best, I wonder. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Please be seated. Thank you, Streams of Life, for ever flowing. This is going to be one of my very brief teachings. Amen. It's going to be quite brief. So you bear with me this morning. But I want to recommend that you get the workers' meeting teaching. All right. It's going to be made available so you can get it to bless you. Amen. So those of you who are in workers' meeting, you are receiving double dose. Amen. Now we start a new series titled Ecclesiology. Ecclesiology. Yeah, you may want to rejoice about that. Amen. Now, when you study systematic theology, there are 10 branches, or let me say 10 predominant branches, main branches, all right, of systematic theology. Because the idea of systematic theology itself is that theology can be improved upon. Amen. But as things stand today, we have 10 major branches of systematic theology. We have bibliology, we have soteriology, we have angeliology, we have ecclesiology, we have pneumatology, we have eschatology, we have anthropology, we have philosophy, and so on. Now these are the branches. Study pneumatology, study of the Holy Spirit. We have amatiology, the study of sin. But in that branch, so what I hope to do is to take you. You don't have to become a pastor to learn systematic theology. Amen. Are you ready to learn?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The phase that we are entering entails that every civilian becomes a soldier. So what I'm doing is to bring what is at the pastor's level down to you, so you can be well taught and trained. Amen. Good. So by the time we are done with ecclesiology, we pick another branch, sit with it, study it. So by the time we are done, you are a theologian at least. Amen. And I hope to also teach you majorly as a subject. We look at 2 months for that. All right. Sorry, please. We look at 2 months for that. And that's the science of Bible interpretation. So we can learn. You see, an average believer wants to be spoon-fed. But like Paul told the Corinthians, he said, when you ought to be teachers. So there's that grace is on your life. Amen? And you will learn. Praise God. So today we are looking at ecclesiology. So follow me. You must follow this series with everything you have. Because theology has started. Praise God. I said theology has started. So follow with inclination. Praise God. Now look at it. Let's journey into this together. Let's journey into this together. What is ecclesiology? It simply put, it is the study of the church, the ecclesia, the study of the church. or a branch of theology that deals with the study of the church. Just like you had the word biology, all right? And that's a feature of bio and what? Logos? All right? Not your logos like what you have in terms of the word. Is it logos? Biology? I think it's logos. Am I correct? I've forgotten those stuffs. All right? So bio means life, and then logos means to study. Knowledge and all that. All right? So the question now is, what is ecclesia? If ecclesiology is the study of the ecclesia, ecclesia in a simple word is the Greek word for church. It's a Greek word, not an Hebrew word. Amen? Because the first use of the word ecclesia or church ever was by Jesus himself in Matthew 16. That's the first use. Matthew 16:18. All right? When he was asking them in Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? And pay attention. He says, some said you are Elijah, that's Elias. Some said you are John the Baptist. Some said you are this. All right? Then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And I love the way Reverend Sam coined that part. He said, people will try to put you in pre-existing molds, but you stand out. Let me before I go into it, see, conclusions of men is brutal. If you live by their conclusion, you have no life. You must insist on your own peculiarity. Do you understand? See, look up. Can I open up to you a bit? All right. The people, two kinds of people I fear the most in church. And I'll tell you the reason why. Two kinds of people I fear the most. Number one is the set of individuals that honor me, but are yet to discover themselves. You see, honor is good. But if you have not discovered you, you'll be dying slowly to honor a person. And what happens is that the day that person discovers himself, he will fight every other thing he has bowed to. What I'm simply saying is that any honor that is coming from an individual whose esteem is not intact is not honor. It's a matter of time. It will erupt. Are you with me? The second cat, and you should be afraid of, that doesn't mean they are dangerous people, but you have to help those people recognize who they are. So you can honor people, but that doesn't mean you are less special. Okay? And from experience, this second category are people who put you on pedestal of honor. Listen, it's a tricky one. Put you on pedestal of honor with the intent that one day they too will receive that kind. So, and after Festival of Life, I called my sons and daughters who are pastors in ministries. And I said to them, I have not honored my spiritual father so you can reciprocate. All right? Walk by revelation and honor at your level. People don't, because you can do something now, and you are telling people, say you are seeing the way we are doing it. So that they can. See, when you do that, you have moved from ministry to politics. Or mini tricks. It's dangerous. All right? I won't say much on that so that I can stay disciplined to my topic. Amen. Good. So they were trying to fit Jesus in pre-existing mold. So Jesus said, okay, you guys, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke, right? He said, you are the Christ. Everything he said had definite article. The Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. Jesus said, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. That is, No one can have this revelation but by the Spirit. Are you with me? So, sorry I didn't allow you to open that scripture, but it's Matthew 16. All right, sorry, we want to write down that scripture. All right, you can start from verse 18. So Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, said, however, listen to me. He said, you are Peter, Petros. Upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. What is the rock? The rock is the foundation of the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God. So what does that mean? The church is built where there are people who have the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God. Are you with me? Is this simple enough? Simple word? Yeah. So we are here because we believe that Jesus, Son of God, true. If you have doubt in your heart, you will not be here. True? Uh-huh. That's it. So where, now Matthew 18 verse 20, now put it in a different light. Matthew 18 verse 20. Can we look at Matthew chapter number 18 verse 20? Matthew chapter number 18 verse 20. Matthew chapter number 18 verse 20. Look at it. Says, for where two or three are gathered, in what? In my name. There I am in the midst of them. So it is, you see, God is not just where two or three are gathered. It's where they are gathered in his name. Because two or three people can gather to gossip. True? And say, look at that, your friend. You see, at the worst form of gossip is the one that hands it will be praying for him. That's the worst form. And you must pay attention. Don't sit in the seat of discomfort. Are you following what I'm saying here? Anytime you sit down and the conversation moves to discussing a person in the wrong light, get up. Get up. All right? Get up. And I tell my wife, it's an agreement that we are pastors or married doesn't mean we are licensed to discuss people. As she knows, my favorite comment is no comment. This is no comment. I won't say it. So you tell my wife, your husband says, you laugh. No comment. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, no comment. So where two or three are gathered in his name is there to bear witness with his word. Praise God. Now, let me give you different definition. And you have to follow me. Amen. Don't say, I'm not a pastor. No, you can't learn. This is for all children of God. Praise God. Now, I'm going to give you four definitions of the church. And I'm going to give you the aspect of those definitions. So let's look at the histology of that word. Let's look at this. Sorry, please. How do we study the histology of a word? You look at the usage of the word across history. Amen. Hold on a minute. Let me explain. I'm trying to get a word to give as an example. It is possible that something that was used for something else across history has now changed, but that thing still exists, but now they are used for different things. So, but when you understand the historical background of that word, it can help you understand, okay, the gravity behind it. Amen? So the word church in those days, the word ecclesia, actually means the house of senate. Or what you call the house of the association of lawmakers. That's the historical background. So you see, they call them the ecclesia. That is, those who have been selected from the rest to make laws. So when you understand this, you will now understand what the Bible means by saying that a lawgiver will come out from Zion. What the Bible means by saying that the government will rest upon his shoulders. You will now understand the prophecies that have gone ahead of the church. That in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be exalted above all hills. Nations will flow to her and say, come, teach us the way of your God, that we may learn his statutes. You see that now. And then the church now becomes a lawgiver. Now, let me deal with a few things. I've heard quite a couple of people, and that's why you must be careful who your teachers are. Say things like, there's nothing like seven mountains of influence. And let me say, you are not a teacher if you are weak in conviction. To be flexible is not the same as weak in conviction. You see, the reason people don't stay in one place is because they've not studied. They teach ESA. What are the seven mountains of influence? Now, there are words that are used that, theologically speaking, there is no mention of that word in the Bible, but they are theologically correct. For instance, rapture. There's no, check your Bible, you'll never find rapture. Trinity, you'll never find. These words don't exist in the Bible. But the concept, the application of this word exists. Are you with me? Are you sure? Am I teaching you, or you have, if I've lost you, I'll go back to basics. Are you with me? Good. So, what are the seven mountains of influence? Talk about family, entertainment, education. In fact, the seven mountains of influence is not complete. Because what God told man from Genesis 1:26 is to have dominion, not just on the things that are touching the earth, even the things that are flying. You see, so if we begin to press further and all that, you will discover these are angles of dominion. It's just simply broken. And a believer should actually be winning when it comes to family also. All right? And different areas. So we say that there's nothing like that. Then you complain that there's Big Brother Niger. You have no right to complain once you have announced that light should not enter media. Keep quiet. And what extreme conversations like that does is that they strip the church of our dominion mandate. Gullible ones, though. They strip the church. Go check your... I don't want to give certain instances. All right, let me just leave it there. In another meeting, I might. Are you with me now? I've heard arguments like, there was a time the church was the government and the church did bad. Yes. In church history, yes. The church did worse. In fact, some of the biggest massacre we've had was through the church. But what church? The church that has not been schooled. And you discover that one of the ways God broke that system then was that he allowed the Bible to come out through the man Martin Luther. That German monk. Alright? What scripture did he find? The just shall live by faith. That was scripture he found. And immediately God saw that a man was ready to undertake the task. There was an invention of typewriter. So they sat down to retype this Bible. And as the knowledge went out, that system collapsed. Are you with me now? Yes, to tell us that God didn't like what was going on. But there is a new church that is emerging. The bride of Christ. Without spot, without wrinkle. One that has been schooled. One that money can't defile. One that position cannot break our consecration. One that has found our God and Savior. That church is going to go back and repair the destroyed places. The whole the ruins. It is time to rebuild the tabernacle of David. That's what that church will do. We are gradually getting there. We are having a few people still coming out who somehow call the name of Jesus but don't represent him well. But more I imagine. Praise God. More I imagine. Amen. And it's not about religious domination. Don't think like that. When you think like that, you are not being an elite. You are actually being ignorant. So it's Christianity. Don't think like that. Think kingdom. I'm not really sure what happened in Kaduna when the governor spoke about their plan, the 25-year plan, that it will be Muslim, to show them that they have no right or no power as far as political. And then look at the number of people that are dying daily in Southern Kaduna. Then you sit down with one Bible, where are you reading from? And say, God doesn't want us there. Look at it. Look, people are in trouble. People are in trouble. You see, I sit back, I look, I observe, and I shake my head. Somebody who has been called and has been given the wisdom to teach on the subject of marriage, to teach the church on the subject of finance, on the subject of leadership, here's a teacher. I say, all those teachings don't exist. Christ is the only message. Christ. Listen, you don't know Christ. If you know Christ, you will understand that there is the message of Christ, but there is also the principles of Christ. So, people lose their ministries and they try to find an entry point. They can't find. They just go into crypto. I'm not saying anybody who is going into crypto has lost their ability. But I'm telling you, that's the trend. You don't see somebody from talking about Christ, just talk about coin. What? Where did your calling go? And the teachers they follow will repent and now begin to teach the right things. But those who follow them are destroyed. You see, be careful. Praise God. Now let me give you, so I said the historical background of that church is the called out ones. The ecclesia. Somebody said he called out once. Say it again. The lawmakers. Say it again. The lawmakers. Say it again. The lawmakers. Now I'm giving you the histology of that word. Now let me give you the global definition of that word church. There's the global definition. It's a complex word. The global definition of that word church describes all believers from resurrection till rapture. All believers from resurrection till what? Rapture. You say, what about Moses? What about David? What about that? So let me explain. And one of the words we're going to get there that is used to describe the word church is the bride of Christ. True? Husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church. He's the head of the church. True? So, we look at me. Look up now. The relationship between Christ and the church is bride. And I will say, men, emulate that relationship in leadership, in love for your family. Now, look up. Abraham, Moses, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they are not part of the bride of Christ. Why? Because his blood did not save them. The bride, the Christ Jesus paid for his bride, is his blood. The bride is the one that was washed with the blood of Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, of all that was born of woman, there is none as great as John. Why? Because they all spoke about a Messiah that is coming. It was John who saw the Messiah. Are you seeing that the yardstick for rating greatness, according to Jesus, is knowledge of Him? Bless God for miracles. Bless God for fun. But is it not knowledge of Him? Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, from resurrection, all who believe in His name and have accepted Him till rapture, and that's why they are the ones that are part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's for the church. Where is David? They are the guest. Where is John and Zechariah? What's his name again? Ezekiel. They are guests. Moses' guest. But we, bride. And that, see. Let me say this. I know you are not gays, but let me say this so I can help minds. Because somebody say that. And the reason why I'm behaving like a woman as a man is because one day, see, even when scripture is there, that all of us, last, we are bride. Hey, be taught. Say, I'm practicing my own bridal work. Stop that. That word bride, listen. That word bride does not describe conjugal relationship. It describes oneness. The only word that can make you understand. Listen. There is no relationship on earth apart from marriage that makes you one with a person. And that's why that's the only word that was sufficiently used to describe us as the bride of Christ. So if you think by yourself of the lamb is that you are going to wear wedding gown, something, what kind of thought is that? See, only God knows what kind of gown they are sewing for me. You know why? In heaven, there's no male, there's no female. Marriage, anywhere they are getting married, the word is for better, for worse, till death do you part. That's the word. People don't listen. They don't listen. That one day death will do them part. They don't listen. And the moment it does, there's no. When you get to heaven, it's not like, see my ex-husband. You have become one, brothers, joint heirs. I said joint heirs. And that's why what one guy was asking, somebody married a woman. Say, the person that marry another person. Say, in heaven, who amongst them will be the husband? Jesus looked at him and said, are you dull of hearing? There's no in heaven. You are like angels. Hey. Hello? For instance, your spirit has no gender. Because it's a spirit. Alright? It is your flesh that has gender. All this man up is the earth realm. When we all get to heaven, leverage everybody, the same thing. I don't know what will happen to your beard. He's not showing me. Whether the female will now come with beards also, I don't know. Yeah. All this beard gang you are piling, it's good. If it fits you, it's good. I'm brushing. Rapture. That's a joke though. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So there's no such thing. Amen. So the word bride and the relationship between us and Christ, the only way to illustrate it is marriage. Because that's the only thing that makes people into one. For instance, this is my daughter. She is my daughter. That's the best she can be. She's going to be one with her husband. Yeah. And that's why when the day comes, we hold her by the hand and lead her there and say, now, you are one. True? My wife is here. She's somebody's daughter, but we are one. That's the way it works. True? Uh-huh. You see, the reason why you need to get this illustration correctly is to know who you are. And to know the sacrifice that can produce your kind. Have you ever seen any marriage in this life that they will tell you that the bride price is to die? Well, that was the price Jesus paid for the church. He died so he can have a glorious church. Are you following what I'm saying here? Adam preferred to die with his bride. Jesus died for his bride. Praise God. And then we are now raised after his kind. If you have fears, are you with me? Are you with me? Amen. I have my reason for asking. Are you sure you are with me? Now, if you have fears, you stand in the room alone, you are afraid. Maybe something is looking at me. That thing should be afraid that I'm looking at, I'm around. It's because you don't know who you are. And there are many things that you hear that project the power of demons, the power of darkness, the power of this. Shh. You are the principality of light also. And anywhere light shines, darkness disappears. And that's why at rapture, when they are dead, will rise. That church will rise. And as that church rises, that church is not going to be rising as bones scattered. No! It's going to be rising a glorious body. That body, when Jesus came back with that body, all right, let me give you a few tips that can help you Because it is difficult for your human mind to relate with concepts that are not around. And that's why Jesus spoke with parables, heavenly words, with earthly stories with heavenly meanings. He could use things they could understand. If Jesus was alive now, or was around now, he would have been using AI as examples. That's what he was going to be using. He taught in the language they could understand. Don't let religion kill you. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? Myself, we were watching at home T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes, ministering in the church with hologram technology. He was not on stage, but he was projected on stage and was walking. Imagine we are doing that this morning, all right, and then in Ibadan, in Lagos. Do you understand what I'm saying? Someone say, that's Antichrist. That's why I saw people saying that. I can't join this thread. I can't join thread. Say, it's this. What are you talking about? Have you no knowledge of scriptures? That the man of sin cannot be revealed until the church is out of the way. Have you no knowledge? I won't told you that CCC is something they're going to tattoo on your head. And say, yeah, boy, why, boy. CCC. What's your problem? You've watched too much of films. Wake up. Can I? That's your role model. Amen. Praise God. The church is so important and so powerful that even the Antichrist cannot show up until the church is out of the way. The only reason the Holy Ghost is on earth is because of the church. The moment that angel sounds, do you know what this world will look like without the Holy Ghost? With the technology and all those things, there are things they could not do because we are around. There are spirits that should give those suggestions. Those spirits cannot speak to their minds because we are around. We are the ones hindering with the Holy Ghost we carry. There are dangers that should happen in territories that cannot happen because we are on ground. When we leave. Wahala. What I make bold to say, as many as are born again children, washed with the blood, will not miss rapture.
Yes, sir.
And that's why I'm going to have to teach on the subject soteriology, so we can rehandle and rehire the concept of salvation. Let's look at what are they stretching too far, but what does the Bible say about it? You see? But I make bold to say, are you born again?
Yes, sir.
Blood washed.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is coming for you.
Yes, sir.
So the word rapture for you should not be a subject of fear. It should be a glorious expectation. Praise God. I said praise God. But the chances are that in the next 200 years, we are still expecting him. So to say that I'm not going to do much with my life because Jesus is coming tomorrow. Yeah. You don't know what yeah means. Yeah means wahala, suffering. Let me leave that there. Praise God. Yeah. Okay. So I've given you a general overview of that word. But the church is also the community of all true believers. The community for all true believers of all times. The fourth definition now. The church is all people and persons. All right. Who have accepted the lordship of Jesus and has been brought out of sin by sacrifice. Anyone who has accepted the lordship of Jesus and has been brought out of sin by sacrifice. Amen. So you are not under sin. And can I quickly give an illustration? I have about 5-10 minutes more to wrap up. Like I said, it's going to be quite short. Amen. Bear with me. Let me give you this instance. This was what man was. Heaven's come. Okay. Take away this. Okay. Bright and Robert, come. Let's use this example. Now stand here. you stand here. Bright, you stand in the middle. Robert, you stand here. Face them. No, come here. Now connect your hands. Except Bright. The three of you connect your hands. Now, don't forget this illustration. This was who man was without Christ. Under sin. Or in the nature of sin. Regardless of his attempt to do good. The nature of sin is not about what you do. It's about something that is inherent. It is the nature of the fallen man through Adam. And the goodness of anybody could not help them. They were still under that nature. They sacrificed bull, chicken, turtle dove. So I mean, turtle dove and ram. Don't mention chicken. Turtle dove and ram and all that. But the Bible said that even that sacrifice could not even make the priest perfect. Talk less of the people. They have to repeat it year after year. They could not become perfect. You see that now. No matter what man does, it's a nature. Even if he has not sinned, as long as he was born there, he was born in that nature. You see, this is the state of the natural man. What Christ did was to deliver you from sin. Now, sin here is not a verb. Sin here is a noun. It's a nature. All right? So he brought you. Now, three of you still come out of sin. And now connect your hand again and give you a new nature. And this nature is called the nature of righteousness. It is a gift. It is the ability to stand right before God without sense of guilt. Now, you did not work for this nature. 2 Corinthians 5 said, it's a gift that is given to you. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, listen. You didn't merit this nature by works. You don't sustain this nature by works. However, this nature produces its own kind of works. The same way the nature of sin produced the works of sin, this nature produced the works of righteousness. So when you do what is righteous, you are not, it's not the same thing as your salvation of fear and trembling. What's that scripture again? Work out your salvation. So work out your salvation is not working for your salvation. They're not the same thing. I want to say something. Please be seated for a while. I want to say something, and it's very important. I saw a video online. I think I should not talk about it. I think I should not. All right? But never you think you are going to heaven by your own works. It is by what Christ has finished. Let me leave you with this. Then I close. One time I was listening to a message. And I paused the message. And let me say this to you. Revival may start through any means. Prayer, fasting, long waiting. Revival is preserved and sustained by teachers. Teachers. Teachers are the interpreters of what God is doing. Listen to what I'm saying. Teachers. For those that God is calling to teaching, don't say because it is not popular. You want to join whatever that person is saying. God needs you for the preservation. Listen to me. One time I was listening to a message. The man of God spoke about something. He went to minister in a meeting. He said if he had not done this, he knew he would have died. This. He said, so he had to do this and do that. And then God said, now your life is preserved. Well, there's a part of the wisdom of God. I just paused it. I told those around me. I said, see, this is dangerous. Because you are hanging your safety on the covering of the calling and right dealings. I said, the moment you miss the mark, you have said, devil, since I've been living by what I'm doing right, take me now. Why don't you humble yourself and anchor your protection on the blood? On the finished works. Because there seems to be a trend of us trying to produce our own works. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying is that you have no cowboy in the price that brought you.
Yes,
it was the blood of Jesus. You must act, and you are that important. That's why he could die for you. Praise God. Say it again. Glory! I'm the bread of Christ.
Glory.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Alright. We need to understand that. The price has been paid. And the church is no ordinary people. I use that word intentionally. The church is the arrowhead of God's activity on earth. So it means God is counting on you, sir, and ma. There are things God wants to do that will not be done unless the church rises. Amen? That's it. You've been bought with a price, not so that you can sit down and just say, yes, yes, glory, glory. No, no, no. But so you can do the works of him who has bought you with that price. So you can be faithfully devoted to him. Understand that my life is beyond me. If somebody was on death row and somebody said, no, I'll take your place there, you can't just go back and live for yourself. Practically, that was our condition. So it means we figure out Christ in everything we do, in every decision. We figure him out. We try to understand how that affects his kingdom. That's who we are. The called out ones. By God's grace, on Tuesdays, I think I should dwell on Ecclesia as the legislator for a while. Alright? Yeah. I'm not really, I should dwell on that. I'm going to dwell on that for a while. Praise God. No other institution has the assignment to save the lost but the church. Those who are not saved, how can they save the lost? Are you with me now? Lift your hands. Say it loud and clear. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that saved me. Go ahead. In a minute, go ahead. Go ahead. And I appreciate him. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. I like for you to mean it truly. Thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we're praying. Say after me, my life is not my own. I have been bought with a price. Therefore I live to please him who has bought me with this price. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. I want to believe without doubt that you have been blessed this morning. Are you sure you've been blessed? I apologize for keeping it brief.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.